Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Agile Brand.
Welcome to the Innovation Economy Podcast, where we look at the factors that drive business growth, including how people, processes, platforms, and places work together to create the future of work. I'm your co-host, Greg Kilstrom, advisor and consultant for Fortune 1000 brands as principal and chief strategist at GK5A, and best-selling author and speaker, and host of the award-winning podcast, The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom. This episode is part of our Inspiration Plus Location series, where we look at what it's like to build businesses, work, and live in an innovative place, and the role of location in a hyper-connected, hybrid work world. The Innovation Economy Inspiration Plus Location podcast series is brought to you by Arlington Economic Development, representing Arlington, Virginia, which is one of the most dynamic economic hubs in America, with resources for businesses from the Fortune 500 to startups and everything in between. You can learn more about them at www.arlingtoneconomicdevelopment.com. To listen to the latest episodes or sign up for the Innovation Economy newsletter, go to innovationeconomy.show or click follow on your favorite podcast app to make sure you hear the latest episodes. And now onto the show. Today, we're going to talk about resiliency in the commercial real estate market and how innovative solutions matched with realistic expectations can mean good things for the industry and for the businesses utilizing office space. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Mark McCauley, Director of Real Estate Development at Arlington Economic Development in Arlington, Virginia. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this with you. Why don't we get started with you giving a little background on yourself as well as what you're currently doing at Arlington Economic Development?
Yeah, so we have a bit of a unique position within the economic development industry here. One that we are part of the county government. Many economic development authorities are sort of quasi-government or have some other relationship with how the government works. We're actually part of the county management form of government. Within economic development, the real estate development group is also somewhat unique to our many of our jurisdiction partners in that we focus, we have a division that focuses on real estate issues, real estate development, and planning issues, working with our planning colleagues. So it gives us some unique advantages in terms of how we deal with sort of commercial market resiliency and other issues that are affecting not just us, but the rest of the region.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, let's dive in then and talk about that. So, talking about commercial market resiliency. And so Arlington has a commercial market resiliency initiative. And let's talk about how it impacts businesses, taxes, and the vacancy rate. So to start, and you know, for those who may not be following the commercial real estate market as closely as some, can you maybe just back up a little bit and talk a little bit about, you know, what exactly has been happening the last few years? I think probably we all know that the pandemic has changed things in some pretty big ways, but despite a lot of press about maybe the return to work policies, less on the real estate side, but on the people side, there's a little less written for general audiences about office vacancy and how that trends there and everything. So can you fill us in on, you know, where things currently stand in the context of recovery from the pandemic?
Yeah, we certainly try to expand the conversation. I think commercial market vacancy or office vacancy in particular is a general overview of how we think about the performance of our commercial markets. The reality is the challenge that we've seen really over the past 12 months has been not only just commercial market vacancy, but some of the things you referenced, future tenant decisions about how they're going to use space, the desire for them to use space differently, and in many cases that means using less space given hybrid work environments, but also commercial market valuation, which given capital markets and given the, let's say, the distrust of the capital markets and in the future of the office market portfolio, we've seen significant drops in values that aren't always related to vacancy. It's really just related to the ability to refinance or the ability to reinvest in properties, the ability to attract tenants and provide tenant improvements. So we're looking at all those things, but we'll talk in a little bit about some of the things that we can control as a government. We always remind people we can't control how the global capital markets work.
Right.
And so we're looking at sort of what we can do on our side to sort of, the tagline we use is regulatory reform to provide for market-based solutions. And that's kind of our tagline.
Yeah. Yeah. So, perhaps one of those things is the Arlington Economic Development's Commercial Market Resiliency Initiative. Could you talk a little bit about that and, you know, maybe how it addresses some of these issues you brought up as well as others?
Yeah. So I'll try to be a little bit more modest in that it's really the county manager's initiative, who's the CEO of the county. We're certainly leading that charge on his behalf. And we started off in April of 2022, really educating our county board, who's our legislative body, about the looming challenges with the commercial markets and about how we needed to institute a process for rapid change and our regulatory reforms. And we had great success adding many uses to our use tables in our zoning ordinance that I'll just say were part of just sort of catching up and part sort of thinking about what could happen in the future to our commercial office buildings, as well as placemaking elements for our retail ground floor with the goal of really attracting people back into our office environments. You know, the question of why would you want to go back into the office? Is it an exciting place to work? Is it something that you want to actually experience versus just being in your living room? And so we've really tried to change those a number of uses in our use tables that allow for those uses to sort of occur in Arlington, where we hadn't really updated our zoning ordinance in quite some time relative to some of those sort of more innovative uses.
Yeah. And to kind of build on that, you know, what are certainly, I think a lot of companies are looking at innovative or different ways of using office space. Maybe there's less people in the office at a time or all of those kinds of things. You know, what are some misconceptions of what some of those new uses of office space can do to solve the vacancy issue?
Well, again, we try to focus first and foremost of not being in the way of market-based solutions. So a typical urban agriculture is, for instance, a hot topic And we're doing a lot of work around that. But it's not going to solve 9 million square feet of office space, right?
Right.
It's really just about allowing for a use that can naturally occur in the market-based environment to expand into a place like Arlington. And we have a lot of interesting discussions with urban ag folks about, you know, for instance, does a restaurant 5 years from now want to have their own grow farm above their restaurant so they're not buying lettuce from 5,000 miles away,
right?
Versus are they actually creating their own source of food? And those are always interesting concepts. Some of the more, I think, more prescient concepts are things like a lot of our tech companies want to use space differently. They want R&D or lab or robotic lab spaces in their spaces. And that, quite frankly, wasn't allowed under a zoning ordinance that was seen as industrial. And we know that's not really an industrial use anymore. That's part of the core function of a tech company that wants to sort of do R&D as well as have administrative office spaces. So,
yeah. So you mentioned, you know, you don't really want to get in the way of the market-based solutions and things like that. But, you know, what are some of the other things that the county is doing or fostering as from an innovation perspective?
Yeah, I think we are actively thinking about what our core industries are, some of which are really just doubling down on what we're best at and the innovation that comes from the federal sector and some of our agencies that are doing high level R&D that we understand sort of trickles down into the sort of private sector economy. So we're very proud to be the home of the DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, and Office of Naval Research, and other things that we know creates a real trickle-down effect in terms of that sort of innovation economy.
Yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
I hope you're enjoying the first part of the show, and I want to invite you to check out another podcast from the Agile brand. It's called B2B Agility, and it's hosted by me, Greg Kilstrom. The B2B Agility podcast looks at the factors that drive success in B2B marketing, with a focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make B2B brands stand out and thrive in a competitive marketplace. You can find B2B Agility on this podcast platform or wherever you normally listen. Before we get back to the show, I just wanted to remind you to hit the follow or subscribe button on your app to make sure you get notified when new episodes of this show are available. Now let's get back to the show. So I'm sure you've seen a lot working with a lot of different organizations that are trying to get creative and maybe sometimes even too creative in what they're trying to do. You know, what's kind of the most maybe far out idea that you've heard, and you know, why is or isn't it possible to do some of these things? You know, that maybe you've heard for companies, again, trying to be creative, but maybe could use their innovation in different ways?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know if we hear any far out ideas relative to sort of the broader subject of how companies are thinking differently about how to attract their workers back into the office space and how to think about how the spaces are used. We focus, you know, most of our time on how we think about when there is a crazy idea that we're welcoming to that idea.
Yeah.
I don't want to minimize, you know, but as a local government employee, I'm not in the business of the crazy ideas, but I think we are committed to making sure if an idea is out there that we're actually looking at it. And I think, you know, there's a lot of discussion about how to reuse office buildings. And I think we'll probably get into this question, you know, it's not as simple as some people think it is, but everything from pickleball courts to urban agriculture to, you know, art spaces are all on the table in terms of how we want to make sure our regulations don't stand in the way of those issues.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like it's really about trying to foster good ideas that are going to, you know, benefit business, benefit residents, benefit the county at large, right?
Yeah, and it's really about making sure that we're maximizing our real estate. We're geographically a small county, 26 square miles. A lot of that is single family or multifamily neighborhoods with a core of commercial mixed-use districts that we're very proud of and that create a lot of activity. But that also puts the stress on you need to maximize that real estate. You need to make sure that real estate's being productive fiscally and creating activity that actually makes those neighborhoods attractive to go to.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, a couple other things to mention: temporary outdoor seating areas. That's another big program for the real estate group. You'd mentioned urban agriculture, but also food study program, delivery, shared kitchens, things like that. Another area, you know, what can you tell us about how Arlington County is leading these initiatives to keep restaurants viable and attractive to new tenants?
So we've done a lot of work with our planning colleagues on the outdoor seating. We had a program called TOSAs, which is temporary outdoor seating areas during the pandemic, that essentially, in layman's terms, sort of eliminated regulations. People could kind of do what they wanted to do just to sort of stay alive, as you said, to stay active and to continue their business model.
Yeah.
We've now gone through a more formal approach of understanding how that could work in the long term and made a lot of changes and will continue to make a lot of changes on how restaurants can address outdoor seating. We obviously feel very strongly that outdoor seating model post-pandemic, the consumer has changed their opinions on what is a safe environment for them.
Yeah.
And that having that ability to provide outdoor seating to your consumer is still going to be something the consumer is going to want.
Yeah.
Well into the future, right? The idea of that they're all our brains have changed in that regard. And there's always a balance between sort of what is a public space versus what is right away versus a private space. But I think we've done a pretty good job at continuing to work through that balance.
Yeah.
To provide the restaurants the right opportunities, but also make sure that the public has access to spaces that they used to have access to, but are now privatized to a lesser extent. So I'll also say that I think that one of the things that we continue to talk about is the demographic of people that use outdoor spaces continues to change. And someone that may be a little older may not view a public park the same way that someone is younger who wants a margarita right. You know, at the table and actually views it as a detriment if they don't have that ability to consume, you know, commerce in whatever way they want to do it. So these are community discussions that happen across the country, and we're no different.
Yeah.
You know, but I think we're doing a good job at sort of trying to provide that.
Yeah. So, you know, as businesses are looking about and thinking about their future real estate needs, certainly, you know, the return to office is still in progress, even quite a bit quite a bit more to go, even, it seems like. But, you know, as they're kind of thinking about future real estate needs, how should they think about working with an organization like Arlington Economic Development? Like, what's the, you know, what is the right fit for that relationship?
Yeah, I think it's all about communication, and it's all about, we always say that we can't guess all the time about what a business needs or what a landlord needs. They need to come to us. And I think what we're committed to is having that open communication. And quite frankly, maybe where, you know, 10, 15 years ago, there was a sense of, if you come to a local government, they're going to tell you no. We want to say, let's look at it.
Yeah.
And get to a yes. And I think that's the message we're trying to send to our community, is that there's long held sort of, someone that worked with the county 20 years ago may have a different view of how the county works now. And I think we're trying to change that perception of, we may not always get to a yes, but we'll get as close as possible, and we'll work through it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, would you say, you know, I wanted to ask, you know, what you think is unique about Arlington County's approach to some of these programs? It sounds like, you know, that might be one of them, is just a more open approach. But, you know, is how would you characterize, you know, what makes Arlington unique?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we talk a lot about is we've done decades worth of great planning. And so I'll use Amazon as an example. When Amazon went through the process of deciding where HQ2 would go and how they wanted to create a neighborhood in their own sensibility, we had a site that was already planned for that density. Mm. And that was their biggest issue, right? They didn't want to go into a community and sort of say, we're adding 4 million square feet where there's no plans or anything. So when we had those plans already in place, that allowed them to then focus more on sort of the enrichment of their site planning, where, you know, where the retail would go, where the activity zones would go, where the neighborhood parks would go, versus focusing on people freaking out about, wait, a 20-story building shouldn't go there, or a 30-story building. We already had that in place. And I think that is still a competitive advantage we've had in Arlington for many years, many decades, in terms of already being thoughtful about where density goes relative to transportation, to open space, to where people live and work. And I think that's a unique advantage, that the work we're doing on commercial market resiliency builds off of that. It doesn't have to start from scratch about how we rethink our place. It's really just about adding on to that very thoughtful planning for decades.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Well, Mark, thanks so much for joining the show. I got one last question before we wrap up here. You know, if you were to look in your crystal ball, you know, what is the future of development look like? And, you know, what kind of insights and recommendations would you give?
Well, we're a very strong marketplace for multifamily residential. We will continue to be. It's a place that people want to live, particularly as the demographics continue to evolve from millennials to Gen Z. We're a very sort of attractive place that offers amenities. I will say that if you asked me 6 months ago, I was more pessimistic, but I think the capital market is going to come back pretty quickly in 2024, and that's going to unlock more development. But again, most of our areas are planned. So it's not an issue of trying to rethink how they're going to, it's just a matter of the development industry sort of being able to unlock a better capital market source than currently exists today, but hopefully early in 2024 will respond. And that will just continue to lead to the success of our neighborhoods as being very active places. So we have a varied number of neighborhoods that all operate a little differently, from residential to nightlife to office environment. but all very mixed use. So we're still very fortunate to be in a place, both location-wise and I think with our planning, to really benefit from when development upticks again. We're going to be the first in the country to sort of benefit from that.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah, that's great. Well, again, I'd like to thank Mark McCauley, Director of Real Estate Development at Arlington Economic Development, for joining the show. You can learn more about Mark and Arlington Economic Development by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to the Innovation Economy Podcast, brought to you by Arlington Economic Development. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe on your podcast channel of choice and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes at www.innovationeconomy.show or on your podcast platform of choice. The Innovation Economy is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, let's keep innovating.
The Agile Brand.